my babies, and welcome once again to Poker in the Ears. I'm Uncle Daddy Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
Happy International Amigurumi Day, Joe. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
What is an amigurumi?
Amigurumi is a style of making cute little stuffed creatures using knitting or crochet.
Is it a sex thing?
No, it's a cute thing. It's a thing you do for kids and your loved ones, you sick person.
No, almost all of these things that are like little creatures that you make are almost always a sex thing. Anyway, you may have heard my slightly muted voice, which you can always tell I'm in a hotel room and I don't want to get shouted at. Coming up on today's show, it is our Monte Carlo preview show.
But to be clear, you are not in a hotel room in Monaco.
Are we going to make it to Monte Carlo today or not, James?
Look, there's a lot of travel chaos going on right now, which is impacting potentially on our ability to get to the EPT and also potentially impacting on this week's podcast, right?
That's right. Yes. We'll get there in a second. We've got several live days of coverage coming up next week and a little YouTube show. The Mystery Cash Challenge is back. And while we're keeping the rest of the lineup a secret for now, we are ready to reveal one of the participants because they're the guest on this week's episode of Poker in the Ears. Well, we're hoping they're the guest on this week's episode of Poker in the Ears because we are literally waiting for them to arrive in Monaco right now. If it happens while we're on the air, we have a guest. If not, we don't. Watch this space. We're literally dragging our feet through this episode to hopefully catch our guest.
And we'll go into why there is travel chaos in just a moment. But yes, I think many people are going to be delighted to hear that there is going to be more cash game poker on YouTube with the Mystery Cash Challenge back for a second season.
That's right. And speaking of cash games, we know professional poker player James Hardigan has already burst onto the online poker scene. And this weekend, he decided to try his hand at being a live Las Vegas cash game pro. You got any fun hands to tell us about, James?
Maybe. I can talk about firing multiple bullets in a tournament and getting stuck and unstuck in a 1-3 game. So, yeah, I've got a couple of anecdotes for you, Joey.
Fantastic. We're actually going to talk some poker this week. And this week's superfan is RP Toth, who has chosen Nathan for you as a specialist subject. I have introduced this show to so many people, so I have seen the first few episodes a lot. I cannot wait to talk about it later. And just, guys, I can't recommend this show enough. If you haven't seen it, please give it a watch. Especially the first two seasons are fucking brilliant.
A lot of very kind words about last week's episode on our Discord channel. A lot of good feedback about our guest, Lexi Gavin Mather. And of course, Joe, you very kindly bought copies of Lexi's book to give away on Discord. Does everyone have their book now?
You know, you know how this works, James, or maybe you don't, because I don't know how much you send stuff to other people. But when you buy something on Amazon, you can't just buy five and type in five different addresses. You have to buy one and then type in the address and buy one and type. And it wouldn't let me when I was in America trying to do this. So of the six people I said yes to, five were in the UK. And then I saw on Kindle, you actually can just gift a bunch of them and type in the email addresses. However, you can't send UK accounts American Kindles. So, and then I had to log into the Amazon.co.uk. And then when I did that, it said, sorry, you can only do this from the UK. So then when I got to the UK, turns out in the UK, the Kindle version is not available at all, even though it says it's available in the UK when you're in the US. So then I sent four copies to people from the UK. It would not let me send to Chert in Slovenia. So I'm still working on how to get one to Chert. But four people, the four people from the UK, I did send out their copies. It was a huge pain in the ass. This is the most frustrating part. The most frustrating part is that when I'm here in the UK, it was making me buy the books from the US Amazon store. So they cost me $30 a piece to send everybody. So I'm pretty frustrated. No good deed goes unpunished.
I was going to say, when you made that wonderful gesture, deep down we all knew that you were going to get fucked massively by this.
Yeah, so I'm like $150 in the hole, and it's not done yet. So change the subject, please. Yes.
Joe, we went to the movies together.
We did, yeah.
We went to see Civil War at the cinema in LA, and I know the reviews have been mostly positive. I think the reviews, if anything, have been too subdued. I think this movie is extraordinary. I think this is an outstanding piece of cinema.
I think this movie is like a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yes.
There's a scene towards the end that I really thought was kind of laughably bad, and I feel bad because the movie deserves better, and it was really fantastic. I know everyone says, like, when anyone goes to movies, they're like, oh, you got to see it in the cinema, though. This one, I don't think it would have nearly the same impact watching this movie at home, given that I jumped out of my chair multiple times from the noise of gunshots in this movie. So realistic, so jarring.
The use of sound in this movie is extraordinary. And I think we were saying at the time, this is a film that we recommend people see in theaters, not necessarily for the visuals, although we saw it in IMAX and it was visually stunning, but for the sound, because you're not going to get that same reaction. You're not going to get that same experience watching at home, especially on like a flat screen TV with a shitty little speaker.
It's also a fairly disturbing movie, not for the faint of heart. Some really uncomfortable scenes and images in this. So I'm kind of glad. I don't know if I'd watched it on a plane or something. I think I eventually cried. I can't remember. But if I'd been watching this on an airplane, it would have been all over. I would have been really, really bad. So I was glad to see it in public where I had to keep my shit together.
Yeah. One other recommendation, the Netflix series Baby Reindeer. And I'm sure people are bored about hearing about it at this point because it's received so much media coverage, especially in the last 7 days. It is incredibly good. And it is very nuanced, complex, emotional in places, and I cannot recommend it highly enough.
I've had 6 or 7 people personally get in touch with me and be like, you need to watch Baby Reindeer. People I haven't heard from in weeks or months.
Interesting.
Are like, I watched Baby Reindeer and it made me think of you. You should really watch it. So yeah. I downloaded it. Didn't have a chance to watch it yet. Maybe on the way to Monaco if we actually get on this fucking plane later.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Vegas.
Yeah. So I saw you in LA en route to Vegas. Played Aria as advertised last week. I played the Aria daily on Saturday. Fired 2 bullets. I'm not a big re-entry person, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't overly happy with how I played my first bullet. I'm not going to lie. I think I was struggling to adjust to the kind of people who are playing $240 dailies in Vegas, having just played a couple of tournaments at the Irish Open and having played in the Sunday Million Anniversary. It's kind of going back to the games that I used to play in where people do play more ABC, and I was probably guilty of good old FPS, fancy play syndrome, and just overthinking it. Rather than just nuts and bolts, good old-fashioned, play good cards.
Yeah, you have to make hands in those tournaments. You know, I will say that, you know, that type of tournament is the one I'm more used to playing in. And when you do things like calculate your pot odds on the river and you go, well, I only have to be right like 1 out of every 7 times here for this to be the correct call. They have it 7 out of 7 times in that spot.
Yes.
In these sorts of things. So yeah, there is a bit of an, it sounds bad. It sounds like you're saying like, my skill level's a little too high to thrive in these tournaments. And that's not exactly,
that's not what I'm saying.
What you're saying, but it is, yeah, it's, you kind of have to readjust a little bit and play a little bit more straightforward. I totally agree. So you re-entered, I assume, because your first bullet was quick.
It was relatively quick. Let's put it this way. It was still during the re-entry phase. So I was able to come in with a 40 big blind stack and make that last a bit longer.
Well, because the reason I say quick is because I know you. You're not re-entering for like 14 big blinds. I would.
No. I think that, to be honest with you, I don't think it was possible to re-enter for fewer than 25. I think 25 bigs was the starting stack at the point that late reg closed. But the weird thing is, this tournament, in this poker room in Vegas, highlighted how small, I guess, the poker community actually is. Because on my first bullet, the guy I was sat next to, my first seating assignment, was next to a guy who I'd met a couple of weeks earlier in Dublin at the Irish Open. A chap called Adam, American, now lives out in Asia. And I remember Adam saying to me in Dublin that he was going to be flying back to Austin, Texas, and then back to Singapore. And he was en route back to Singapore via Vegas and San Francisco and just happened to be playing the Aria Daily on the exact day that I played it and had the seat next to me. We were at adjacent tables in the Hendon Mob Championship in Dublin just a couple of weeks ago. So reconnected with Adam for the brief time I was in on my first bullet. And on my second bullet, I was sat next to one of the people who auditioned for the big game on tour, one of our qualifiers, a potential loose cannon, Meg. And she was very excited to see how the shows are going to turn out. And I think we're going to be able to talk very soon about where people will be able to see these new episodes of the Big Game on Tour. But again, had a lovely time talking to Meg, who I'm thrilled to say went on to make the final table.
Wow.
Along with Michelle,
who
late regged, made it to the FT, and along with Meg, chopped the prize pool four ways, and Michelle managed to make $2,000 in this tournament.
That's a lot of money for a $160 nightly?
$240.
I mean, that's fantastic. I love a chop. I love Meg from the Big Game. And as long as we're talking about audition people, I was scrolling through Twitter today. And remember Steve?
Yes.
Who made it super deep in the auditions? He won the nightly at Resorts World last night.
Nice.
So, hey, good to see people. We had a pretty good eye for talent, it seems like. Okay, so no cash for you in the tournament.
No, I played three cash sessions. 1-3, no limit, because I know my limit. The first session was pretty uneventful. I think I was up like $60. Second session made about $150. And then on Sunday, I just had a torrid time, very similar to the sessions I had at the Horseshoe last year, where the players aren't particularly good, but I just either can't make a hand or just keep getting coolered. King Jack against King Queen, you know, Ace Queen against Queen Jack, which then rivers a flush, and also made a questionable hero call, to be fair. And I've talked about the hand. I think I made the hero call against the one player who probably was capable of bluffing in that spot. I don't think it was horrible, but I just found myself adding on for 100, adding on for 100, and like, ugh, I'm now like stuck $300, $350, and I don't like being down that much. But fortunately, got unstuck by getting dealt kings in a spot where someone decided to overplay ace 10, got it in for 300, wow, and held.
Wow.
And then a few hands later got aces, and it wasn't an all-in pot, but it was a decent pot. And I ended up cashing out for a $25 profit in that game, having been down nearly 350 at one stage.
Great feeling. Great feeling. Well, that's cool. That's cool that your kings held against ace 10. What's that like?
It feels good. But by the way, I am one of those people who, in a cash game, if it's all in pre, I will absolutely 100% flip my cards
over. I show too, yeah. I feel like a fish showing, yeah.
I hate this kind of like, oh, I'm not going to reveal, and then at the river, kind of like, oh, I've won. It's like, to me, that's fucking slow rolling. It's like, if I'm showing I've got kings, show me what I'm up against, please. And I knew I was up against ace 10, knew I just had to fade the ace or fade some spades, which I did, and that was good. That made me happy, because up to that point, I was pretty miserable. But I should highlight that there is plenty of live poker coming up this summer. I know you and I are hoping to play some live poker in various places in June, July. As far as Stars events are concerned, Eureka Hamburg has just been announced. That's taking place right at the beginning of July, from the 1st to the 7th of July. Lex Live is back. I think this is the first Lex Live since 2019.
So
the first one in 5 years. The last one is in London. This one is in Barcelona and is taking place from the 10th to the 14th of July. And then PokerStars is getting behind the Dolce Vita series in Cyprus. This is at the Merit, the same place where we have the EPT in the autumn.
Wow.
And that's taking place from the 24th of July to the 4th of August.
Man, I wish we could do all of these. That would be so fun. I know we're not really professional poker players, but man, it would be cool to be able to hit multiple of these stops. I think a lot of them, we have other, our real jobs, unfortunately, are going to get in the way of a lot of these. But man, if one day we could figure out how to do like TV, poker, TV, poker. Oh, man, that's so fun.
Absolutely. I mentioned Lex announcing Lex Live. He is one of the team captains in the Scoop League that's just been confirmed, along with Finton, Spraggy, and Tonka. So this is an interesting concept. The idea is that these four guys, as the team captains, are going to take part in a draft. And I believe there's going to be 30 players on their teams. They're going to have 30 picks.
Whoa.
And I think two of their team are going to come from the team pro roster. Eight are going to come from the, I guess, Scoop regs.
The so world people, at large. The professional poker player pool at large.
Exactly. So okay. Think about people like Benny Glaser and Pads, the players who we normally see firing at everything during Scoop and making deep runs in the various leaderboards. And then the other 20 players on their team are going to come from prospects from their respective communities. So, again, up-and-comers, potentially some unknown players. But these are going to have to be people who are playing a lot of Scoop events, because I'm assuming that the league will score itself on leaderboard points the same way that the player of the series contest will be scored.
Well, I have a couple of suggestions for this, which I know it's probably a little late at this point. Number one, the 20 hot prospects, they should get free rolled. If you're getting like drafted in from the community, it should be like, we're giving you a shot. That's one suggestion I have. Two, the eight pros, do they have to consent to being on the team, or can you just pick someone and they don't really even know about it?
I mean, they're going to play anyway, right? So and their results are going to be cataloged.
Right, so it's not like you really need Benny Glaser's permission to draft him onto your team.
I guess not. And trades are allowed, I understand. I'm not sure how that process is going to work, but there will be the trading. And the final part, and this is, I think, really cool, is the fans can choose which team to support. And there are prizes up for grabs here, because, say, for example, you decide to support Team Spraggy. And at the end of Scoop 2024, once we get to the end of May, Team Spraggy was victorious. There is going to be a free roll for everyone who opted in to support Team Spraggy. And there are some pretty sick prizes in that free roll, with the winner getting a package to go to Malaga, to that UKIPT/Estrellas event that's taking place in Malaga in June. So there are reasons for you to be invested. There are reasons for you to care about how this league goes and which team actually wins.
Yeah, because you could A, be drafted in, or B, win a trip to Malaga. That sounds pretty great.
Exactly. So Lex, Finton, Spraggy, and Tonka are the team captains. All those guys are going to be in Monaco, where we are heading this evening.
It's time for the show. Forget everything that you know. You ain't seen nothing like this. It's impossible to resist. Just sit back and enjoy the view. Out with the old and with the new. Look forward, there's no looking back. Gotta be on the right track.
So the 2024 edition of the PokerStars European Poker Tour, presented by Monte Carlo Casino, is underway. And by the time you hear this podcast, Joe and I should be, and I emphasize, should be, in Monaco. However, there is disruption to flights to France today. There is an air traffic controller strike. Our original flight has already been cancelled. We've been moved to a new flight this evening. And I have had numerous texts, Joe, from the world's favorite airline, telling me that there are likely to be delays. So hopefully we make it, even if it's a bit later than we should have been.
Okay, well, delays really stink. I would rather have it be a little sure. I'm not in control of any of this. I'm just along for the ride. My life is gravy. Look, my aunts and uncles in France need, they need 8 weeks vacation time. I don't know what they're asking for. Just give it to them.
We have got a big day tomorrow, which we'll come to in a moment. We've got a big day on Saturday. As far as the live streaming of EPT Monte Carlo is concerned, that starts on Sunday. And that is going to be the final table of the FPS main events. The France Poker Series has got an event in Monaco, bolted onto the EPT, the $1,100 buy-in main event. We stream the final table of the FPS in Paris, and we're going to be streaming the final table of the FPS in Monte Carlo. So Sunday, first day of live coverage at 1 p.m. local time. That's Central European Summer Time. We follow that on Monday with another final table. Mm-hmm. Guess what, Joe? No need to take a day off in Monaco. We get the Super High Roller, the 100K event. That's right. You're going to get that FT on Monday, same time, 1 p.m. CEST.
The Super High Roller is it hits a little different in Monaco. So you get a lot of people, some sports stars show up sometimes, some rappers, some rich dudes drive their fucking Ferraris off of yachts. I'm excited for the Monaco Super High Roller.
Yeah, I think it should be a good field, and we'll get to see the closing chapter of that event on Monday. And then when we get to Tuesday of next week, it all becomes about the main event, and it's five consecutive days of Cards Up coverage of the main event, starting with day two, which is the day the bubble bursts, all the way through to Saturday, Star Wars Day, May the 4th, when it concludes. And for the main event, we're going to be live at 12:30 local time up to the final table on Saturday. The final table of the main event will be at 1 p.m., same start time as the finals of the FPS and the Super High Roller. Add it together, and that's 7 days of live coverage on the PokerStars Twitch and YouTube channels. But it's 8 days of content, as far as we're concerned. Tomorrow is rehearsal day, and Saturday we are filming the second season of the Mystery Cash Challenge. It's back. I'm not going to lie, I didn't think we would do another one, but we are. And I think it proves how popular this format was and how popular those six shows, which premiered on YouTube last year, turned out to be. Six shows that were kind of dominated by Alex Botez. No one else really got a look in. But we have a new lineup, a new cast, six more players coming to Monaco to take part in this series. And look, anytime we do cash content, I'm excited. We did the big game last year as well, and now we've got the Mystery Cash Challenge back for 2024, Joe.
I thought the Mystery Cash Challenge was really fun. It was challenging as something to do for the first time. I'm hoping this time we'll have smoothed out some of those production bumps that made it a little difficult to do last time. I'm excited for the names that we've talked about playing in this version of the Mystery Cash Challenge. We would tell you all of them, except it's kind of like eight names being jumbled around right now. There's six spots at the table, and so we don't want to misrepresent or commit someone to it that we haven't quite confirmed yet, but I can promise you it's going to be a very interesting lineup. We do know two of the names that are confirmed, and we are prepared to share one of them with you right now.
Absolutely. One of the players who will 100% be participating in the Mystery Cash Challenge is someone whose content you probably have seen online, because he has become the face of poker on YouTube in recent months. Thrilled to say that Wolfgang Poker has just arrived at EPT Monte Carlo, is going to be playing in the Mystery Cash Challenge, and joins us on the Poker in the Ears podcast right now. Welcome, Wolfgang.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And welcome to Monaco. Is it your first time here?
It is my first time. It's beautiful. You know, the mountains. I just went to the bathroom. There's water in the bathroom. It's like the ocean, you know, the Mediterranean Sea. I'm running a 1 hour sleep right now. I just called the the ocean. There's no ocean nearby.
You know what? I struggled that for a long time. I still call it the ocean. If it's salt water, it's the fucking ocean. Don't worry about it. We're really excited to have you in Europe. We're excited to have you at an EPT. But this is not your first EPT, right?
No, I went to the Paris one last February. Thought it'd be a nice Valentine's Day trip. And I donated some money. Saw Neymar. That was pretty fun.
Oh, well, speaking of soccer players, we saw on your Instagram, you've got a picture with Sergio Aguero. We think he might be in Monaco as well. Sometimes he comes to these things. How is it that, where are you from, Chicago? How is it a kid from Chicago knows who all these football players are?
I actually played soccer growing up all the way, well, through college, but in Chicago, I played on the Fire Academy, and then I was going to play like D2, and then ended up going out to California, not for soccer, but I played on the club team at my school as well. But yeah, I love soccer. And then when I was playing in the tournaments, I always like see who's playing in the high rollers and stuff. And I knew Aguero was coming to the last tournament I was at, so I ended up buying his jersey from Man City.
Nice.
And yeah, getting that signed, which is pretty sick.
That is cool. That is cool. So we've already announced that you are in Monaco, not just to play EPT Monte Carlo, but also to take part in the Mystery Cash Challenge. Now, you are no stranger to playing in streamed or televised cash games. Are you familiar with this format? Did you watch the first season?
No, I'm kind of going into it a little bit blind, which I think is
interesting.
Fun. Yeah, so like you said, though, I'm pretty familiar with like live streams and how they work. And a lot of them, they'll add in like little twists and stuff, which are always fun. So Joe was telling me, or Stapes. He was telling me some fun things that were probably going to happen, but didn't really share too much. So I don't know. I might peruse the last stream and see what's going on in my hotel today. But other than that, I'm probably just going to have fun and wing it.
James, what can we tell him? What can we tell him about it?
I do think that even if you're able to watch like the first episode, I think there were 6 episodes in the first season, that will give you an idea of what to expect. Yes, there are twists. Yes, there are kind of like, I don't want to use the word gimmicks, but there are things that make it unique
as a
format. The mystery element comes from the fact that there are prizes that can be won each round. There are also power-ups and forfeits that can be won, that can be experienced by the players. It's not dissimilar to last year. We have made a couple of tweaks, a couple of changes on 2023, but it's pretty much the same format. So if you ground yourself in at least one episode of what was produced last year, you'll have a very good idea of what to expect. And I think anyone who watched that first series last year will also have a pretty good idea of what's going to come out. Obviously, the lineup will be different, and that's one thing we're not going to talk about. We've revealed that you're playing Wolfgang, but we're not revealing at this stage who else is playing, and I don't know if you know who you're going to be playing against.
I have no idea who I'm playing against, but it's good to know that everyone can go watch my videos and figure out how I play.
I think the people you're playing against also have plenty of stuff online, and you'll have a little bit of time. I think that the lineup may be revealed to you with a little bit of time to figure out who you're playing against.
I'm having fun. If I lose, I lose. It doesn't matter. We're gonna try to. Hopefully, there's some elements of maybe or maybe not Seven Deuce. That's like my favorite side game. But other than that, I can get on board with anything that involves gambling.
I think last year we told them they could play Seven Deuce, but they didn't. Right, James? Is that what happened?
I think there was enough going on that I don't think they felt the need to have any side action, but we'll see what happens this year. You referenced, Wolfgang, the amount of video content that is out there now featuring you playing poker. Now, this is not just the streams, the televised cash games you've played on. This is also the stuff you are producing for your own YouTube channel, which I think it's fair to say has exploded in recent months.
Yeah, it really has. And I credit a lot of it to like short form content. So obviously, as people's like attention span has gone down, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok have all prioritized pushing content sub like 90 seconds, right? So once I realized, and they give you heads up like on emails and stuff like, hey, we're going to be pushing this. But then my editor and I were like, okay, we got to double down on shorts. I ended up buying another phone, filming vertically at the table, editing vertically, just putting a lot of like AI into it and stuff. And it's really done exceptional. I think that's like an understatement. So like usually like a vlog, like a year ago, right? A vlog of mine would get somewhere around like 50,000 views. And now I'm disappointed when I post a short and it caps out at like 250K, which is very rare, but like sometimes like that would be like terrible, right? It's like, okay, we need to have a meeting. What went wrong? Like, is the view duration low? All that stuff. And yeah. And like recently I had, I wasn't even paying attention to the views, because once you post something, either a video will die after like 2 to 3 weeks, right? So you only get like 100 views, you know, every 24 hours. Or sometimes the video just will randomly pop off. Like you look at a graph, it'll be like totally flat. And then out of nowhere, something will just go parabolic. And so I don't have the time to obviously sit through every video. So someone messaged me. They're like, oh, there's an article written about you. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of used to that by now. But this one was really cool. It said like, Wolfgang has the top viewed poker video of all time. And I'm like, okay, that's like absurd. And apparently I actually have the second most viewed as well. So the top one has like 105 million views now. And then the second one has like 85, I want to say. So, and what's funny is if for people that haven't seen the article, Ike Haxton, who's someone I respect, you know, and used to watch a lot and heard his voice in a lot of commentary. He was like, I don't understand. Like, what, can someone explain to me why this video is the most watched? Because there's nothing like GTO about it. There's no high level play. I check raise the turn and the dude folds, and that's pretty much it. And it's like $1,000 pot, if that. And so like everyone's commenting, like calling him out and stuff. And I had to be like, I don't even know why it's the most viewed video, other than like some like pretty good editing and like some funny commentary.
I actually really respected your response to Ike. You know, you seem to take things good-naturedly. And I think that Ike obviously did really... Ike can come off a little bit snarkier than he meant also. What I really loved is that you just published the full breakdown of all your statistics about that hand. And you were like, I'm getting a lot of questions about this. Here it all is. Do you worry at all about being that open?
Well, I'm not usually that open. And I mean, I've done it once or twice when I hit certain milestones, like 100K on YouTube for subs and then 1 million. I would post like kind of a breakdown in terms of like where my subs are coming from, sometimes my income, but I'm not very transparent with that just for other reasons. But when this went public, I thought it was a great opportunity to give people insight into like what I see on a daily basis. Because I'm like a statistics nerd. I love all this stuff. I love looking like how I can just improve. Like if you just improve the view duration by maybe like 1 or 2%, the video will just grow tremendously. So like when I saw this, I'm like, okay, you know what? I think people would find this interesting as well. And so I posted all that and people loved it. People were screenshotting it, messaging me like, oh, this is super cool. Can you do this for every video? I'm like, no, but yeah, glad you enjoy it.
But yeah. It's interesting to hear that even though obviously you've looked at that data in depth, you just said yourself, I have no idea what the secret sauce is. You have no idea why one particular video just has gone absolutely massive.
Yeah, there's really no way to tell other than like if you do all the steps right, like, you know, you make sure you have a good call to action in the beginning, you wait for the good thing to happen at the end, that creates that, and if you have a really good thumbnail, those are the things that you can control. Other than that, YouTube will control the rest. So it's like... That is not my best edited video. It's not the biggest pot I've ever played for a short, but for some reason it did well initially. I think it was posted before a lot of other people started copying our style. And so I think the algorithm thinks it's like a very good video, but it was just prior to everyone else entering the space. That being said, we've had some videos in the past month or two that are just exceptionally like really, really good quality. And those ones are starting to get traction as well. So I don't know. It's pretty random. It's kind of like gambling within gambling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So considering you are clearly the leader when it comes to poker content on YouTube right now, what is next? What are the goals moving forward?
It's a great question. I mean, doing stuff like this, so this is really exciting to me. And obviously if I can repurpose this content, that's like another avenue that people can find me on, because there's still people out there that haven't heard of my name or seen the way I play or edit. So that's kind of like my goal, is to maybe in this upcoming year to travel to more of these events and get more into the like the European scene. I do a lot of like cross-country road trips in the States, and recently a lot of my like, because I have a lot of short form viewers and subscribers, I know they're a younger audience, so I've been targeting all the colleges. So I went to Texas A&M, I just got back from Auburn. I'm going to do a lot more of that in the U.S., like go to some like fraternity games. Even though I'm past that age, I think it's just really fun to like show people that side of it, because no one else really is doing it. And then just traveling to more European stuff. Yeah.
And I guess the question we haven't asked is how you got to this point. How did you go from being a hot soccer prospect to being a poker player to being a poker YouTuber?
The hot soccer prospect might be a little of an embellishment, but I appreciate that.
if faced with the choice between telling the truth or the legend, tell the legend.
I appreciate that. Well, I mean, if there's people here that want to play, I'll put it on the vlog. But it was kind of not a natural transition. It was just after school, I didn't really want to get into a 9-to-5. I would play like once a week, and by play, I mean drive, because I wasn't 21, I had to drive 2 hours each way to go to an Indian property and play there and then drive back. So that it was kind of like an endeavor. But after college, I just didn't want to do finance and stuff and kind of just bet on myself with the YouTube channel. I had some prior knowledge with editing. I used to edit for this guy named Vitaly, who a lot of the viewers of this might have heard that name. So I got my start with editing with him, and then I ended up meeting a few people in LA prior to them starting their vlogs. They popped off, and I'm like, okay, I think that I know the hardest thing, which is how to edit. That's literally, you have to outsource if you don't, which can be expensive and like annoying. Because like the hardest thing with poker vlogs, and I've experienced it once, is when you need an editor, there's tons of good editors out there, but like less than a tenth of a percent of them know how to play poker at a high level. So it's just terrible in terms of like, yeah, like finding someone who's nasty at editing, but also understands like what a check raise means. So once I figured out that I had that ability to edit and play poker at not a good level back then, but a lot of people like watch vloggers because they enjoy just like the fun side of it, not exactly like the high level plays, and they like seeing the punting and stuff. So you got to give the people what they want to watch, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I know that you've just arrived. You're dealing with jet lag. I know you want to freshen up and get yourself kind of acclimated, so we won't keep you for much longer. Just wanted to say, Wolfgang, thrilled to have you taking part in the Mystery Cash Challenge, which we are shooting this weekend. Joe and I hopefully will be in Monaco by the end of today. Look forward to meeting you in person and look forward to this weekend. And good luck at the tables.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for having me. And hopefully, I'm assuming you can't come here right now because of the strike. Did I just get lucky with that?
You got very lucky. If your flight landed today, you got very lucky.
It landed about 90 minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah, you're a superstar. Thanks, man. Looking forward to meeting you in person, and try to enjoy Monaco for the next day or two till we put you to work.
Thanks, Diggs.
As is customary, as is traditional, we close out the podcast with Superfan versus Stapes, and we introduce this week's Superfan. Hello, RP Tuff.
Hi, guys. I'm glad to be here.
RP, any relation to the former, wait, was he a team pro?
He was a team pro, right?
Richard Toth from Hungary, is that you?
Well, I mean, we have to be related some way, right? Because the family name is the same, but I'm not aware of it, so.
You don't know him personally. All right, fair enough. Yeah. I think Toth is probably like Smith or something in Hungary, and I just asked the dumbest question of all time.
It's like common, right? But I'm not related.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your branch of Toths do?
Well, I mean, I'm a poker player, so I'm a professional. And I'm more into like all sorts of like theoretical things, I would say, like all sorts of, I'm really interested in many, many domains, but most of them are like theoretical, I would say.
Theoretical, like poker theory, or you're just like an astrophysicist philosopher?
No, I'm just interested in all sorts of sciences or like history or like, you know, all sorts of things which are related to more, I don't know, abstract ideas, I would say.
Nice. Can't help but notice the chair, the microphone, the pop shield, the headphones. do you find yourself streaming yourself playing poker by any chance?
I just tried it, right? And it was a lot of fun when I did it. I did it actually this January. So it was a lot of fun, and I might do it again. But yeah, that's why it is there. It's really interesting to like immerse the social element of the whole poker thing more during your online play, which is so isolated. So I think that was nice to do. It was a lot more fun to play. Like I did like 6-7 hour sessions, and they just fly by because of the stream.
Yeah.
What's your delay policy? Because it can be, you know, if your whole thing is being social, the slight delay sometimes, I found that to be a little frustrating.
Yeah, it is. I tried to minimize it. So I did it 3 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that was a lot better. Like 5 minutes would be a lot worse. I think it kind of ruins the whole vibe. Yeah.
When I show up at Spraggy's channel and I want to get credit for gifting subs, it's a long time to wait 6 minutes to get my credit.
Yeah, it's painful.
On the flip side, we all remember what happened, Joe, when you famously streamed yourself playing a poker tournament with zero delay and found yourself heads up against someone who was watching the stream.
I mean, look, I lost heads up. He was the better heads up player. I who can say whether he was stream sniping or not, but that's how much confidence I have in my game. I will stream on zero delay.
I like it. And how confident are you feeling, RP, about this quiz? Your specialist subject being Nathan for you.
I'm pretty confident. I really love Nathan. I really love his style. I really love awkward humor for some reason. I feel like it just opens up the human element of a personality next to a camera, which is really rare. So yeah, it's beautiful, I think, and I'm excited to do it.
Have you seen all of the seasons of Nathan for You?
Yeah, I did it actually multiple times, I think.
I kind of felt like by the end he got a little mean, that he was sort of taking advantage of the people a little bit. But the beginning, which is what our quiz is about, I thought the show was pretty good natured and fun.
Yeah. I mean, the topics got more deep in general towards the end. And I think you cannot avoid getting into more like personal messages. And there, I think there's more harm to be done, or it's possible to be done. And I think he didn't, you know, just let those opportunities go to make good TV.
Sure, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
This quiz relates specifically to the first four episodes of the very first season. We kept it contained so that Patrick didn't have to spend an entire week watching every single episode of Nathan For You ever produced. One thing I would like to highlight is Patrick has shuffled them. So don't think that all the early questions are about episode one and all the later questions are about episode four. There's a little bit of shuffling going on. I'm sure, RP, you know the format. You know how it works. I do need a number between 1 and 10.
Let's go with 2.
Question number 2. In the Nathan For You intro, what does the shop Bread and Buns get renamed to?
Bread and Buns. I think it was like just the shortening of it. So Bread, little apostrophe N, little apostrophe Buns.
It nailed it.
Perfect answer. Full 2 points. And Joe, you can pick your first question. It can be any number other than 2.
I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to come 7.
Okay. Always coming 7. This question relates to episode 3. What is the name of the arcade game that Nathan hides in when he wants to spy on a business?
It's Librarian's, I want to say Librarian's Quest. But is it worth the risk for the 2? Yeah, I'm going to go with Librarian's Quest.
He takes a risk and it pays off. He gets 2 points. Whew. Second question, RP.
Let's do 3.
Question number 3, keeping them low. Another question about episode 3. What is the name of the security guard who Nathan hires for the clothing store and then again to hide in the arcade machine?
I think his name was something with S, like Samuel or Simon. I think it was Simon.
You gonna go for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Again, the risk pays off.
Wow.
2 points. Okay, Joe. 2, 3, and 7 have gone.
If RP's going low, I'm going to block him. I'm going to go with 1.
Okay, question number 1, which coincidentally relates to the very first episode of Nathan For You. Nathan takes advice for his law firm interview from a 7-year-old boy named Amir. What does Amir say is his favorite color?
Orange.
For 2 points.
Whew. Man, that first episode is so good. I've shown that to so many people. It's just got, it's almost like 3 episodes worth of stuff packed into 1. It's so good.
It's great.
Okay, we've got 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10, RP.
Okay, well, since Joe is blocking me, I need to go high now, right? So I need to go 9.
Oh, and it's Joe's lucky number as well.
You dick.
Question about episode 2. What is the name of the teen that Nathan catches vandalizing his poster?
Wow. I think it was Kyle. I think his name was Kyle.
2 points.
Oh, wow.
Okay, no one's dropped a point yet. This is very exciting. Joe, you going low or you going high?
oftentimes I will complain about running bad and how I would have been able to get the questions. So far, Arpy's gotten the questions I would have struggled with. So okay. I'm running pretty good. I'll take the... I'm going to block high now. Give me high.
You want the question number 10? That's the highest number going.
Yep.
Okay. In episode 2, Oak Glen Petting Zoo stages a video of what animal saving what animal?
Goat in the water. Goat in the water. a piglet saves a goat.
It does indeed for 2 points.
I remember seeing that video before seeing the show and sharing it as if it had been real.
Wow. So still no one has dropped a point as we come into the penultimate round, and the four questions still available, RP, are 4, 5, 6, and 8.
Okay, well, we keep blocking each other, so I think let's try with something like balance. Let's do 5.
Question number 5, right in the middle. It's a question about episode 1. Based off Nathan's idea, what do Valley Pizza change their guaranteed delivery time to?
Wow. Well, it was something very low, like unimaginably low. It was below 10 minutes for sure.
Okay.
I think it was somewhere in the end, like... not 9, because I would remember 9. I think it was either 7 or 8.
Look at the philosopher at work over here.
I know. I'm loving this.
Well, I would say let's do 8, because I don't know. Let's do 8.
2 points.
Well, you would remember 7 also, I think. So yeah, 8 was a good guess. Like,
I don't know. Maybe it was just luck now.
Okay, Joe. 4, 6, or 8.
You know what? Let's go 8 for 8.
Question number 8. In episode 4, what does Daniel, the gas station owner, say his grandmother told him to drink when he's scared?
A toddler's piss.
For 2 points. Or as Patrick put it more delicately, the urine of a young child. So we come into the final round, and the last two questions are 4 and 6. I've got a feeling that this is going to go to the tiebreaker. But you never know. One of you could drop a point in this final round, so choose carefully, RP. 4 or 6? 6 or 4?
Okay, let's do 6.
In episode 1, what is the name of the frozen yogurt shop?
Oh, it was Yogurt Haven, I think.
It is indeed, 2 points. Okay, Joe, so the options are not an option. Ugh. You have to get this question right in order to take us to the tiebreaker. What nickname does Nathan give to Greg, the caricature artist, in episode 4?
I fell asleep last night when I was rewatching episode 4. I don't think I have an answer for this. I don't think I can do it. RP, do you know the answer?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
It was King of Sting.
The King of Sting. Oh, you're right.
So by a margin of 10 points to 8, it came down to that last question. Congratulations, RP. You have won this edition of Superfan versus Stapes, and that means the prizes are yours.
Thank you very much. Awesome. So glad.
And I don't know, maybe you can come up with a Nathan for You style fix for our podcast at some point. If you think of one.
Wow. Nathan for You style? In what sense? Like
something like the plan. Joe murders James on the air. That
reduce running time to 3 minutes per episode.
There you go, yeah. And everyone listens to podcasts on twice speed. What if you recorded at 7 times speed?
This is exactly is the kind of stuff that we need. RP, thank you very much for giving up your time today. Congratulations once again. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, pal. You too. All right, my babies, that's just about all the time we got for this week's show. I'm about to get kicked out of my hotel room. We have got to get to the airport and hopefully not wait 7 or 8 hours for our flights to take off. Coming up next time, we're going to take a week off because of all the stuff you just heard about. We're doing 7 days of streaming. What else do you want? But after that, it'll be our wrap-up for Monte Carlo. If we don't get someone who goes deep in the tournament, maybe we get one of the other big names playing in the Mystery Cash Challenge. We won't be able to reveal too much about what happened, but still going to be an interesting guest.
Absolutely. And our Monte Carlo recap podcast will also be combined with our Scoop 2024 kickoff show, because worth highlighting that Monte Carlo wraps on the 4th of May, 5th of May, Scoop starts. And that means for the next few episodes, the return of Howard Swain's looks, brains, and Scoop updates every week during the series.
You know, Scoop's a lot of work usually and a lot going on and a lot of numbers, but Howard makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Are you playing any Scoop events?
I don't know.
To be revealed in our Scoop preview show.
Maybe I'll get drafted by one of the Scoop League captains. I mean, not many people have a 100% cash rate in the Sunday Million, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, look, top prospect, James Hardigan, number one draft pick overall. Speaking of pick me energy, Discord, get on there. We still need super fans for the upcoming weeks. And I think we're kind of on like the home stretch of podcast episodes before we take a summer hiatus. So,
yeah.
If we can line those up now, I know that James and I are both doing a lot of traveling this summer before World Series starts. And at that point, we kind of go away for a little bit. So get while the getting's good.
So the plan is we've got podcasts all through Scoop. But once we get to the end of May, I think that's when we're going to start our summer break. I think before we go on our travels, though, we are going to record a couple of summer specials. This is something we've done for the last couple of years. So we'll probably do a Poker Movie Monday, maybe an interview with a big name in the world of poker, bank those, release those during the summer months just to scratch the itch while we're not producing regular shows. And then we'll come back in August just before EPT Barcelona with another run of Poker in the Ears all the way through to the end of 2024. As ever, not just super fan applications. Want to hear from you guys on the podcast discussion channel as well. Link to the PokerStars Discord server in the podcast description.
All right, my babies. Well, that is all the time we've got for this week's show. Until next time, until EPT Monte Carlo, for James Hardigan, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.